On the show today, we have Mountain West Credit Union Association's very own Scott Earle talking about, well, his recent announcement about retiring from the Mountain West Credit Union Association at the end of June 2022. So we talk about that decision. We talk about some of his incredible experiences throughout his career. And then we just talk about, you know, his advice for leadership today and the state of credit unions. We cover a lot of ground in this discussion. So I hope you guys enjoy. Awesome here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And we have a special program today with Mr. Scott Earle from Mountain West Credit Union Association. Scott, how are you?
I'm great. It's an honor to be here, Mike. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. Well, I got the news. I mean, it's made headlines everywhere in the industry that you have announced your retirement from the Mountain West Credit Union Association effective June 2022. So we got about 6 months,
right,
of working with you. But I just off the top here, I just want to say a huge congratulations to you and you're incredible. I read your bio and all the history and stuff like that. You have an incredible history in this industry, but we're going to talk a little bit about that. But yeah, just a congratulations to you, a fabulous career, and moving on to the next chapter of your real life. That must be pretty exciting.
It is really exciting. The closer it gets, the more real it's becoming, which is a bit frightening, but it was always great to talk about retirement being out there, but now that it's here, it's a little more frightening than I expected it to be, but I'm ready to make the move. My wife's ready for me to make the move, so we're excited about it.
Right on. Well, well deserved for sure. And I want to dive right into some of your career highlights. And one of the first ones that really stood out to me, because we do a lot of fintech interviews on CU Broadcast, and I know you've been instrumental in your pursuit of technology because you championed the usage of blockchain technology early on, and even leading the way to helping create CU Ledger, which is now Bonifi. And so I just wanted to. I just want to ask what drives you in this area as far as technology, because it's, you know, today is the, obviously you can't do anything without talking technology these days. So what drives you in this area?
Well, honestly, I would not describe myself as a technology guy. I'm a league guy. I had a staffer by the name of Rick Cranston that came to me back in 2016. And 2015, actually, and said, you know, there's this whole idea using blockchain technology where we can digitize people's identity, and it's going to be so much safer, and I think we ought to take a look at this. And Rick was always throwing things against the wall. And but we ended up sitting down and meeting with the CEO of a startup company by the name of Evernym.
Mm-hmm.
Timothy Ruff was his name. Yep. And just came away with a really good feeling that this might be an opportunity for credit unions to lead the pack on how to protect the members' identity and to move us into that next level. So we hosted along with CUNA, hosted the very first blockchain summit, credit union blockchain summit back in 2016. And that was in conjunction too with John Best.
Yeah.
And we all kind of went to work on it. And it eventually became CU Ledger. John Ainsworth, the CEO, was hired, and it's taken off from there and become Bonifi. And we're right on the cusp of making that a reality for credit unions, and I'm excited about what that means for us. And so what drives me was really to put credit unions in the driver's seat, mm-hmm, with this technology and to really provide new benefit to members.
Yeah.
And so that's where we came from.
Well, it was a really proactive move, which you have to do with technology today, because there's always the risk of being left behind, you know, or left in the dust, you know, becoming the next blockbuster, unfortunately. So, but yeah. I mean, I have to applaud you in that area. And you did this really early on in its infancy. So before people were really talking about the blockchain too much, now you can't swing a cat these days without talking blockchain or crypto or anything of those things. So
that's so true. You know, I definitely should give credit to our board of directors too, because okay, we went to them and made a recommendation that we invest in that company, Evernym. And, you know, we're a mid-sized league. We've got a decent balance sheet, but we invested $1 million in Evernym.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That they would stay focused on the credit union market,
mm-hmm,
which they have done. And I think John Ainsworth and his team have leveraged that to the nth degree.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so that's been a great partnership.
Yeah, yeah. We had Timothy Ruff on early on, probably right around that time in 2016 or so. And after talking with him, I felt like I just stepped out of an episode of The Matrix or something like that. I was like, oh my gosh, what did we just talk about?
It
was
I'm still not sure I understand everything that Timothy throws out, but it's interesting.
It was fascinating for sure. Hey, I want to switch gears here to you were a member of the very first development educator class in 1982. So what prompted you to go through this course? I mean, this is a first class, you know, this is the very first one. And then you even became a mentor and a member of the core staff in its early years. So what drove you in this area as well? Because taking this class is kind of like a badge of honor in our industry now. It's a really much heralded accolade.
Yeah, you know, it was, I wish I could take credit for being the one to get me to go through that class. I was my first year as the marketing director at the Utah Credit Union League. And I had a boss by the name of Charles Sullivan that read about it, thought it would be a good thing for me to go through. So in the first part of December, we met in Madison, Wisconsin at what was a Catholic girls' school. So very stark surroundings. We had rooms with a cross on the wall and a couple of hard beds.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, we spent 7 days there going through this intense training that was developed by World Council staff, a guy by the name of Dean Mann specifically, and a few other folks that played a key role, Barb Main, Carol Shilio. So there were a bunch of people that played a key role in those early days of that program. But I have to tell you, that program is what cemented me in the credit union movement. You know, when I came out of college and got this job as a marketing director at a credit union league, mm-hmm. I thought, well, I'll last there a couple of years and then I'll move on to be the president of a Fortune 500 company. And I went through this training and just fell in love with what credit unions really stand for, what we're about, the whole, all of it. I just, and it stuck. And, mm-hmm. And I think the people that were running the program saw how much it all meant to me. And so they invited me to come back and help work with other trainings and mentor folks. And as a matter of fact, when Lois Kitch, who has kind of been the leader of that program for a long time, I was on that core staff and a mentor of Lois.
Okay.
So anyway, great program. I recommend it to everybody. It's more than a badge of honor. It is life-changing if you're a credit union person. So.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, and sounds like your story, like many of us, we've kind of stumbled into this industry and just really fell for it, you know? And like you said, once you get to know the people, the story behind the industry, the stories behind some of these credit unions, you know, it's inspiring, addicting, all those words that once you get in, you can't get out. You're always kind of a credit union person, no matter where you are. So it sounds like
this whole California kind of experience.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I want to segue from, I'm glad you brought up your time in Utah because that's where you got your start as marketing director at the Utah Credit Union League. So I wanted to talk about a little bit about your banker battles that you had during that time. So what was going on? It just seems like every year the bankers kind of have to do their annual, let's beat up on the credit unions, beat that drum a little bit, and you know, the tax exemption and all the other issues that they feel they have to talk about credit unions. So what were some of those battles like, and what became of those during those early years?
You know, I became the league president in Utah in 1991, and I think it wasn't that long after that first lawsuit was filed against NCUA and multiple fields of membership that led to, I'm dating myself here, but led to HR 1151.
I remember that, yes.
Which passed in 1998, but that led up to a Supreme Court decision saying, no, NCUA, you can only approve single common bonds. And so we went into this overload of getting that HR 1151 passed, and there were compromises involved in that. During that same time period, the Utah Bankers Association sued our state regulator in Utah and several credit unions about their field of membership. Utah was allowing credit unions to apply for every county in the state back then, mm-hmm. which was on the cutting edge, and the bankers didn't like it at all. And so we were in the courts during that same period, and honestly, to shorten the story, we lost in the courts. We had to go to the state legislature. And it was all out war. I mean, we were on the media. Mm-hmm. It was kind of an interesting experience because I would come out of a committee, the Bankers Association guy, and I would come out of committee meetings where the issue was being debated with the state legislature, and local news would shove microphones in our face and want to know what happened and what our thoughts were. And
gosh,
it was kind of a surreal experience.
Yeah.
That happened in 1999, and it continued till I left there in the end of 2003. But it changed how Utah credit unions dealt with the legislature and dealt with Congress.
Mm-hmm.
It became much more proactive. I would say that Utah, and maybe even still to this day, are among the best at credit unions fighting the credit union fight.
Mm-hmm.
We got involved. We ran credit union people for the state legislature. We got involved with congressional races. Interestingly, the majority leader of the state house, who was an anti-credit union guy and the chairman of a community bank board, decided he was going to run for Congress in our first congressional district in Utah. And he was running against, and it's a Republican district, so it was the Republican primary where it really counted. There was another guy that had been the Speaker of the House but was pro-credit union. And we had a great relationship with him. So we jumped on board and started supporting that guy. Everybody thought that the bank guy was going to win. He was a millionaire. He was putting a lot of his own money in. The guy we were supporting was a school teacher. But our credit unions jumped in with partisan communications and sent stuff out to their members. And that was the first time that we had ever engineered that nationally with CUNA. And the race was there was Congressman Rob Bishop, who ended up spending 10 terms, I think, in Congress.
Oh, my gosh.
He just retired in 2020, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Retired. Great guy, great credit union supporter. But we took the primary numbers. Early polling showed the banker ahead 60-40. The school teacher that we were supporting ended up winning the race 60-40.
Oh, my gosh. What a turn of events.
Yeah, And the district is an interesting district. America First Credit Union, the largest credit union in Utah, is headquartered in that district. And there are counties in that congressional district that are in excess of 80% credit union members in the population. So it was a fun race to get involved in, but it's an example of how credit unions can really turn the tables in the right situations and with the right effort. And I can't say enough about the way Utah credit unions handled that.
Yeah, they I think sounds like they flexed their superpower, which is collaboration, once again in this instance. Oh my gosh, what an experience that must have been to go through that. I mean, you were right there on the front lines to experience all that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Hey, I want to switch gears again because you're all over the place here, Scott. Just doing all these really cool things out here. So can you tell us about your role during COVID to spearhead efforts that recognize credit unions as essential services? Because this was a pretty big deal, you know, at the height of the pandemic. So, if you can just tell us a little bit about that effort. And then also you also created a pandemic specific resource bank on the Mountain West Credit Union Association website as well as a result. So can you tell us about that whole experience and that?
Just as a reminder, Mountain West serves the credit unions in Arizona, Colorado, and Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
So we have three state capitals to work with, very different states, all three, if you think about the demographics and the politics of all three states. But we worked with the governor's offices very closely to get credit unions designated as essential workers. Our credit unions stepped up and made the connections, showed what they were doing, showed what the risk that their employees were taking to keep service to members. And the states responded and listed us as essential workers in all three states.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there was any magic formula there. It was just staying on top of it and pushing it really hard with the connections that we've had in the state capitals over the years. So, and as far as the resource page, that credit all goes to our staff. They worked hard to find the resources, build it, and put it in a position where our credit unions could use it. And early on, we were also doing weekly CEO town hall meetings where the CEOs could get together and talk about how they were responding. And are you opening your lobbies? What are you doing here? How are you treating your employees here? Who's working from home? All of those questions were being asked back and forth. Yeah. Opinions were being given, guidance from each other. We also brought in experts to talk to the group, Mike Schenck from CUNA to talk mm-hmm. about numbers. It was a lot of different people that came in. Members of Congress came in and talked to our folks.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So
Oh my gosh.
And it was so successful, and everybody's gotten so good at Zoom. We're still doing those. We're not doing them weekly anymore, but we're still doing those.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like these experiences that we just described, and I'm sure there's many more, these are just really, you know, on the edge of your seat type of experiences where, you know, everyone's coming together and working together and rallying and all that, all those great words in here. So having said that, what's the most satisfying part of your job? Obviously, it's these little successes along the way that really keep the industry, especially in your area, moving forward and things like that. So, you know, what's the most satisfying part of your job that you've found day to day?
You know, interestingly, when I started my career, so I was doing marketing and I was a graphic artist, and I would sit in those days at an art table and put together printed pieces for credit union use. And the great thing about that job is you would do a job and it would be finished and it would be done and you could hold up and say, look what I did. In this job today, that's not really the case. It's seldom that you finish something all the way through, but the real satisfying part is working with people.
Yeah,
the credit union movement.
Yeah.
The great thing about the credit union movement is that it attracts great people.
Mm-hmm.
The movement is, and you know, it is seldom that I'm in a situation with credit union people where I ever question their motives. Now, the way they think things through, I might question, but not their motives. They're always coming from a good place, a place of wanting to serve the member, wanting to take care of their team, all of those things. And so that's probably the most satisfying part of this job is the chance to work with really good people.
See, that's you just hit the nail on the head. That's what I think is the addicting part is just about everybody, nearly everybody in this industry comes from a position of, well, I want to do good. And that is, to me, is really infectious in a good way. And that's what keeps me so inspired and motivated to do the work that we do over here. So yeah, you just, oh my gosh, you hit the nail on the head. So let's flip that on its head and say, what are you going to miss the most? It could be the same answer, I think. Maybe is the people.
It really is. It's the people. It's the relationship. So there are parts of the job that I'm definitely not going to miss. I'm not going to miss worrying about what the legislature is going to do next and how we respond and what are the regulators going to do and how do we make sure NCUA understands what we need. All of those kinds of things I'm not going to miss. What I am going to miss is the people. Mm-hmm. And that's the people in credit unions in my three states, and then also my peers at the national level, the league presidents, the service corporation guys, government affairs people, the CUNA staff. Those are all great people that I've learned to just love over the years.
Yeah, no doubt. And as you well know, as we all well know, there's been quite a turnover of leadership in the industry. You know, established CEOs retiring and moving again, like moving on the next chapter of their lives, and some new folks coming into those positions. So what advice do you have for new leaders of credit unions today? Because these are certainly different times that we're in. That's pretty much the understatement of the last 2 years, I think. But they're different times, what's going on today. So what advice would you have for those new leaders coming into the industry and today?
Gosh, you know, the words that come to mind, I think, came from Roy Bershengren, and that was keep purpose constant. Stay focused on the mission of credit unions.
Okay.
And focused on the member, and that's easy to say. I think there's all of the things we need to worry about how we remain relevant in today's marketplace and staying ahead of the curve. But really, I think part of where that relevance comes is in making sure that we stay focused on the member and not the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And so my last question to you is, what's your take on the state of credit unions today? Because obviously there's a lot of changes going on, not only in the leadership, but other areas as well. So what's your take on the state of credit unions today?
Well, I think we're going through an evolution. There's no question about that. And it's been going on during my entire career. I was looking at numbers. In 1982, we had almost 20,000 credit unions in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And our biggest credit unions were, you know, 200 million in assets. Yep. Navy was probably, but I doubt Navy was even a billion at that point. They may have been, but and so we've seen credit unions go away that couldn't find their niche, that couldn't find the efficiencies. And I think we'll continue to see that. I think we'll still lose some credit unions, but I think I have a lot of faith in the credit union movement, that the current leaders will move us to that next level of service to the members, meet the needs that they need to. And we've proven over the decades that we can do that, that we've adapted every time we've needed to. The bankers haven't liked us adapting, and that's been part of the heart of the battle with them, is they don't want us adapting and providing the services that our members want. But at the same time, I just really believe that this is it's a great time to be a credit union. Yeah. There's just getting around it. It's a great time to be a credit union. It's a great time to be a credit union member. And there is all kinds of innovation and exciting things happening at the credit union level right now.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. It's so exciting right now. It seems like each year gets more and more exciting, even, you know, not only on the technology front, but so many other fronts as well. So yeah, spot on once again. So, oh my gosh, such a great conversation. I wish I could go on forever. This is a fantastic talk. Anything else to wrap up, Scott? Just any final words of wisdom for folks out there?
Words of wisdom. No, I don't really have wisdom. Other than just to say thank you to everybody I've had the opportunity to work with, to interact with. There are so many great leaders and folks that are working on behalf. So credit unions, if you don't believe that there are folks out there at the association level that care, that are working on your behalf, you need to take a really close look. That is the case at every state, in every state, and definitely at the national level. Yep. It's a great team of people that want to make sure the credit union movement is healthy and survives into the future.
Yep. A lot of great people making some significant change, and you are definitely one of them. So thank you for all the hard work and all the experiences that you've had, Scott. So yeah, just thank you so much for making this industry what it is today. You know, your part has played a significant role in a lot of that today. So, and just talking about the history and your experiences, yeah, a lot went on during your tenure. So thank you.
Thanks. You know, you hang around long enough and you end up the oldest guy in the room, and then you realize it's time to retire. So
no, you're good. You're still hanging around here for 6 more months, so not a big deal. So we'll get to hopefully chat again. So all right, well, Scott, I'm gonna let you get back at it. Thank you so much again for your time today. I enjoyed this conversation. I knew it'd be great, and certainly lived up to it. So again, appreciate your time, and thank you again for a fabulous career.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's an honor to be here.